ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 5, Chapter 26, entitled The Hellish Planets. And we are on verse number 25. I shall read the sloka and then word to word translation and then translation. ये तो इहा वै दांभिक दंभ यज्ञेषु पशुं विशसन्ति ताव अमुष्मिल लोके वैशसे नरके पतितान निरयपतयो यात यित्वा विशसन्ति। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, यू कैन रिपीट आफ्टर मी।
ये
persons who,
to,
but,
iha,
in this life,
why,
indeed,
dambika,
very proud of wealth and a prestigious position, dambha yagneshu,
in a sacrifice performed,
to increase prestige.
Pashun,
animals.
Vishasanti,
kill.
Tan,
then.
Amusmin
loke.
In the next world.
Vaishase,
Vaishas
or Vishasan.
Narake,
in the hell.
Patitan,
fallen.
Nirayapataya,
assistance of Yamaraj.
Yatayitva,
causing sufficient pain.
Vishasanti,
kill.
Translation
and for Krishna Prabhupada. Translation. A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into hell called Vishasan after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. Please repeat after me.
A person
who in this life is
proud of his eminent
position
and who heedlessly
sacrifices
animals
simply for material prestige
is put into the hell
called Vishasan
after death.
Then the assistance of Yamaraj
Kill him after giving him unlimited pain.
Oh, good. In Bhagavad Gita 6:41, Krishna says, Suchinam Srimadam Gehe Yoga Vristo Abhijayate. Because of his previous connection with Bhakti Yoga, a man is born into prestigious family of Brahmanas or aristocrats. Having taken such a birth, one should utilize it to perfect Bhakti Yoga. However, due to bad association, one often forgets that his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yajnas like Kali Puja or Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. How such a person is punished is described herein. The word Dambayagnishu in this verse is significant. If one violates the Vedic instructions while performing yajna and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punishable after death. In Kolkata, there are many slaughterhouses where animals' flesh is sold that has supposedly been offered in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. The Shastras enjoin that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere it is said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. Those who do so receive the punishments described herein.
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So with your blessings, I shall endeavor to speak some words on Srimad Bhagavatam for the pleasure of our worshipable deities, Shashi Govinda, Shashi Adhavalu, Shashi Devananda Guru Sudhamani. I pray that it may purify all of us. So here in this chapter, we are hearing descriptions of different hellish planets. It's almost end of Srimad fifth end of Srimad Bhagavatam. And various hellish planets have been described. So far in Srimad Bhagavatam, this fifth canto, we heard the universal structure, and there was a description that right in the bottom of Bhumandal, there are highest planets, 28 different highest planets. So Sukadeva Goswami is giving some description of those planets. And we came across different highest planets, and now we are hearing the highest planet known as Vishwasana, which is particularly meant for the people who consume meat for various purpose, whether that be religious, so-called religious sacrifices, Durga Puja or Kali Puja, or for sense gratification, for the tongue. So there is punishment waiting for them. This is what we are hearing. So they will be sent into that hell and will be punished by servants of Yamaraj, and they will kill them after that. So I shall discuss some of the points about animal killing, and especially not the facts and figures, how many animals are killed and what sort of atrocities and cruelty they go through, but rather I would be discussing on the cause of the root cause of this kind of sinful, heinous activities people go through, and what is the root cause. And then later in the class I would read a series of verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivers Chand Kazi. He kills demonic mentality Chand Kazi had by reason and argument. Then he discusses animal killing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeats him. So, there's so much animal killing going around on this planet. If you need to know, then just Google on internet and you can find out facts and figures how many animals are being killed on a daily basis. Why do people kill and eat animals? What is the reason? From the audience, give me some answers. What do you think?
For the
time. For the time, yes. What do you think?
When they grow up in that way, they've been taught to do out of habit.
Yeah, ignorant. They're not aware of, you know, what is happening. Everyone is doing, so let's do it. Nothing wrong in that. Right? So one is for tongue and one is out of ignorance. Very true. Srila Prabhupada, once he was asked that why these young people, American people and everywhere else, wherever Prabhupada was traveling and preaching, why these young people are giving up our own religion, Christianity, and joining Hare Krishna's. Why are they becoming Hare Krishna's? So then Prabhupada replied that your Christianity has commandments, and one of them is thou shalt not be killed. But still, you people, your society is maintaining slaughterhouses. So these boys and girls are intelligent. They are seeing your hypocrisy. You are not following your religion properly. And here, they see that God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, spirituality is being practiced very nicely. So that's why they leave your religion and they come to us. And on another time, Srila Prabhupada was discussing about killing animals. He was saying that one should not kill animals. So someone could argue, they don't have soul. Animals don't have soul. So what's wrong in killing them? So Prabhupada could see, you know, how dull-headed that person is. And people do think like that. Animals don't have soul. So Prabhupada said, no, they do have soul. Animals and children are very much same. Children and animals are very much same. They are very innocent. And children also do things like animals, you know. They put everything in their mouth, you know, whatever they see around, you know. And they run around, they play, and whatnot, you know. So they are also like animals. Why do you kill your children? So they can see there is life in the human child, but there is no life in animal. So such an ignorance, as Mother pointed out, such an ignorance people have. So these are the two reasons actually that people do commit this kind of sinful activities day in and day out. This word mentioned about Dhamma Yogi Yeshu, especially Prabhupada is talking about, this verse is talking about Kali Puja and Durga Puja. So for prestige, people perform this kind of yogis where animals are being slaughtered. As Bhagavad Gita says that fortunate people actually get birth in aristocratic family and Brahman family. But they misuse the provision. Krishna gave them that kind of birth, so that they can advance in bhakti, they can advance in spirituality, because a lot of facilities are already been given beforehand. You don't have to work hard to meet your livelihood. But unfortunately, they misuse the facility. And some of them, especially here it's mentioned about Kali Puja and Durga Puja, that they perform this kind of sacrifices, animal sacrifices, to please Goddess Kali. And why?
So, as in the result, in the end, they gain some favor, material favor from Goddess Kali. Their material prosperity increases. That's their sole purpose. And what they do with that material prosperity, material wealth, they engage themselves in more sense gratification. So ultimately, the root cause is sense gratification. The driving factor becoming the same is sense gratification. In the end, I want to enjoy my senses unlimited. And some people will have material benefits, they are seeing. This business, people are consuming meat, so let's open butcher house, let's open slaughter houses and kill animals and sell them off. We can make money. And what do they do with money? Again, it comes to same point. We want to enjoy their senses using that money. So again, driving factor is the sense gratification. And most of the people in the society, they are consuming meat because it's just a normal thing to do. That's what they think. Everyone does. That's how we grew up. Our parents, our relatives, our neighbors, my friends, and everyone consumes meat. Everyone consumes alcohol. That's what they do. This is the lifestyle. So let's do it. But they don't think twice. What is the problem with that? And this is what happens when we engage in sense gratification activities, and especially the sinful activities we perform, we become dull-headed. Our intelligence becomes very dull. So the fine intelligence, the contemplative intelligence required to advance in spirituality doesn't come. It gets destroyed. This is what happens when there is a problem with sense gratification. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the second chapter, from verses from 61 to 64, so there he mentions this point, that one who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as man of steady intelligence. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. So when we have sense objects in front of us, we start thinking, how shall I enjoy that? What can I do with that? So we become attached to those sense objects. And from such attachment, lust develops. I want to enjoy that. And from lust, anger arises. Not necessarily that all our desires are fulfilled. So when they are not fulfilled, anger arises. Frustration arises. And then from anger, complete delusion arises. That they forget basically. I want to get it, and by hook or crook, I'll do it, I'll get it, I'll enjoy it. And then they end up committing some mistakes, creating some problems. So in that delusion, when delusion arises, they forget that what is good and what is bad, what is supposed to be done here and what is not supposed to be done here. So that kind of delusion arises. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So here you can see the hierarchy, how sense gratification puts oneself in a precarious situation where he loses his intelligence and falls down into material pool. So this is the problem with sense gratification. Person becomes dull-headed. He loses his intelligence that is required to progress in spirituality. And that's why people don't think twice what is wrong with anger killing.
because they are so dull-headed, because committing such simple activities day in and day out. And then in next verse, 64, Krishna says, but the person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So he's talking about regulative principles of freedom. And where do we find the regulative principles described? In the Shastra. Shastra comes from the word sas. Sas means to control. And the two words we have from this is Shastra and Sastra. So one can control someone by using Shastra. Shastra means weapon. And same way, Shastra, Vedic literature, is also meant to control the demoniac mentality of human being. So these regulative principles described in the Vedic literature is actually beneficial. That's what Krishna is saying, is regulative principle of freedom. It frees us from the material bondage, it frees us from the reaction of sinful activities, and it keeps us away from those kind of sinful activities. So it's actually regulative principle of freedom, not the bondage. So Shastra is very much required in human life to take guidance from. And devotees are actually very intelligent. In fact, Saramava Bhattacharya, when Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, every year devotees would come from West Bengal to meet Mahaprabhu to take part in Jagannath Yatra festival. So during those Chaturmas, they would stay in Jagannath Puri in association of Lord Mahaprabhu. So, on such occasion, once many devotees from West Bengal came, and there was huge kirtan. When they arrived in Jagannath Puri, everyone, were doing tamashas kirtan. And Lord Mahaprabhu, Vidyan Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, everyone would encourage everyone, and they also, take part. Of course, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. So he would induce everyone to chant holy name and dance in ecstasy. So seeing that, King Pratapudra said that, what is this? I have never seen this kind of celebration. I shall read those verses. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 11th chapter, the Veda Kirtan pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Kirtan was going, King Pratapudra said, after seeing that, upon seeing all these devotees, I am very much astonished, for I have never seen such an effulgence. Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million sun. Nor have I ever heard the Lord's names chanted so melodiously. I have never before seen such ecstatic love, nor heard the vibration of the holy name of the Lord chanted in such a way, nor seen such dancing during Sankirtan. And Saramaha Bhattacharya, who was standing next to him, replied, this sweet transcendental sound is special creation of the Lord, known as Prem Sankirtan, congregational chanting in love of Godhead. In this age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended to preach the religion of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the religious principle for this age. Anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. Sanam Bhattacharya says that anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. One who does not do so must be considered a victim of this age and bereft of all intelligence. So, in fact, only devotees are intelligent. As Mahaprabhu's devotee is saying, in this age of Kali, intelligent person perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions. The king said, according to the evidence given in the revealed scriptures, it is concluded that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself. Why then are learned scholars sometimes indifferent to him? The Bhattacharya replied, a person who has received but a small fraction of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that he is Lord Krishna. No one else can. If the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of his seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma said, my Lord, if one is favored by even a slight praise of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So one requires Lord's mercy to know that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself, and the process he is giving for deliverance in this age of Kali Sankirtan is the way to attain him. And only intelligent people will take part in congregational chanting of Hare Krishna. So question comes, how to revive our lost intelligence? The intelligence, Maya, Kriti, Jnana, the Maya has taken our intelligence. How to revive that intelligence back? What to do? Prabhuji? You? How to revive the lost intelligence that is actually required to progress in spirituality? What do you advise people in general? As you give answer.
Other general answer.
Huh?
We have better answer.
Yes,
Prabhupada.
Ask them to read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada.
Take
prasada. Perfect answers. But why is sometimes people don't read, don't take first of all? And many times happen, right? When we go to book distribution, people don't take the books, they refuse. And even prasada, most of people take, but sometimes people are very, very stingy. They think, oh, these are the Hare Krishnas, They don't touch even. What to speak of consuming Krishna? What to do? Pray for them, That's right. So these are called Bhaktam Mukhi Sukruti. We engage these people by various means. You give them books, you give them prasadam, you talk to them, find out their interest, and somehow or other, trigger their thought process in a way that they become thoughtful, and then they think about this subject matter. So engage them in discussion, bring them to temple or other places where we chant Hare Krishna and then do other practices of Krishna consciousness, and they take part in that indirectly or directly. So these are the different ways we can produce some sukruti, some piety, and this is not a normal piety, this is bhakti mukhish piety. It is sprouted from the process of bhakti. In the 12th chapter from Bhagavad Gita, from verse number 8 to 12, this progressive path of Krishna consciousness is being described. So Krishna starts from the top and then it goes one step down, 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 like that. So Krishna says in 12.8 that complete absorption in me, Krishna, complete absorption in Krishna is the highest platform in Krishna consciousness. And if one is on that platform, one on that level, he lives with Krishna. Krishna is always with him. So can you say, are you on that level? Certainly no. Me, definitely no. But yes, we have in our presence, you know, Srila Prabhupada, gurus in ISKCON, and many devotees even we are not aware of. Sincere devotees who might be on that level, our acharyas, they are on that level. So Prabhupada, in his life, we see, we haven't witnessed personally, but we heard and we read from his followers, and the biographies written by his devotees, that how Prabhupada was fully absorbed always in thinking about Ramakrishna and serving him. So this is the topmost level one should aspire to be in. But certainly, not everyone will be able to do. Prabhupada mentions in that purport that not everyone will be able to do that. So what is next step to do? So Krishna himself says that, okay, if you are not able to completely absorb yourself in thinking about me, remembering me, worshipping me, then you should follow regular principles of bhakti yoga. And by doing so, you will have desire to attain me. You will gain strong desire to attain me. So this is the one step down. So Krishna is saying to follow regular principles of bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that what are these for? Regular principles of bhakti yoga is what you do every day. Rising early in the morning, taking bath, coming to temple, Mangalarti, sit down and chant Hare Krishna together with devotees. Do kirtan and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, take prasadam. So these are the activities to be done on a daily basis. These are called regular principles of bhakti yoga. But Krishna says, sometimes it happens, people cannot even do that. And I can see the difference, living in ashram and living in grahastha ashram, brahmacharya ashram, grahastha ashram. So the many things I used to do, I'm not able to do. Now my daily, 8-10 hours is gone just to, earn money. And mind and intelligence is focused in that kind of pursuit. But here, you can relate to this lifestyle, living in temple, you can see how much time and energy you can spend directly serving Lord Krishna and following principles of bhakti yoga. So it can happen that one may not be able to follow everything 100%. So Krishna says now in the following verse, which is 12.10, that okay, if you are not able to do that, then you should at least spend some fruits of your action. So we work outside, so especially this is for grahastha devotees, that we all should spend some earnings of our hard work in service of Lord Krishna. So Krishna is saying that, you know, be sympathetic. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that you can contribute some lakshmi for publication work, for maintaining temple, for deity worship and propagating Krishna consciousness. There are a lot of activities there will be required money. So one should spend, be sympathetic and spend some money for this cause. And what will happen? Then Krishna says, as a result, you will be elevated in Krishna consciousness. So you will see, 12.8, 9 and 10, from starting from top, Krishna goes little down, little down. And he says the process and then he gives the result. You completely absorb yourself in me and then you will see that I am always with you. Okay, if you can't do, you have follow Rakita principles, you will attain desire. Or you will get desire to attain me. And then if you cannot even do that, okay, you spend some fruits of your action. Then you will elevate yourself in Krishna consciousness. So this is the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Most of the congregation devotees in ISKCON falls in that category of 12.10. So yes, it is very essential. And then what happens? Krishna says in 12.11, and then he says, okay, even if you cannot do that, then at least do some material piety. So he actually now not talking about Krishna consciousness, but he advocates your material piety. That you spend some money for some good cause, like opening up schools or hospitals or giving charity to poor and needy people and whatnot. You know, so this kind of material piety Krishna is saying, and he doesn't mention about any results there, what you will gain there. Because it is not directly related to Krishna consciousness. So there are a lot of other factors involved. So result is unsure. You know, what you will get in this return is completely upon your karma. So he's not talking about results. But indeed he mentioned that. And Prabhupada mentions that, you know, what happens if someone does that? His mind becomes purified. So even giving away fruits of your action on material level is helpful. It is advisable. It is good. That helps. It actually purifies the mind of such person. And with that purified mind, he becomes more receptive when devotees go. And many people refuse, but many people even accept. So you can see, they are receptive, those who accept. Why? Because there must be some piety attached to them. You are on a material level. So this is called karmonukhi sukruti. By doing good karma, one gets material piety. So that with little purity, they become receptive to the message of Krishna consciousness. And then they will advance. And they will come to temple and then, you know, bhakti mukhi sukruti happens. And then they will follow the regular principles and eventually they will become completely pure devotee. So like that they will progress. So this progressive path of Krishna consciousness given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So yes, this is how one should revive our lost intelligence. That people are so ignorant, as Mataji mentioned. So talk to them and try to invoke some thought process, some bhakti sukruti. By that, their lost intelligence will be revived. So I shall read how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Chankazi and killed his demonic mentality by this reason and argument. Especially, he is talking about animal killing them. So we have another 10 minutes. There are few series of verses. So just give your ear and listen to this beautiful narration of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very sweet. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, the chapter entitled The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth, the last chapter of Adilila. So this is the scene that devotees in Navadvip were doing congregation chanting. Mahaprabhu had already started Krishna consciousness movement, and everyone around him in Navadvipa were totally absorbed in congregation chanting of Hare Krishna. So many people were disturbed, and the king Chandkazi was receiving a lot of complaints, and complaints from Muslim and other so-called Hindus, Pashandis. They were not happy with the Sankirtan movement. Mahaprabhu was spreading. So they were complaining to Chandkazi, and Chandkazi attempted to stop this movement. So this is the scene. And Mahaprabhu became very angry after a particular incident where servants of Chandkazi broke the Vidanga and dismantled chanting of congregation chanting and beaten up devotees and kind of stopped Sankirtan on the streets, and they were threatened. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got angry, and non-violent civil, those disobedient movement started then. This is the first non-violent civil disobedient movement Mahaprabhu started, not Mahatma Gandhi. So this is the scene. So now here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reaches house of Chandkazi. From there, I shall read, and then you will hear how he talked to Chandkazi. Thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the Kazi's house, he sat down by the doorway and sent some respectable person to call for the Kazi. When the Kazi came, his head bowed down, the Lord gave him proper respect and seat. In a friendly way, the Lord said, "Sir, I have come to your house as your guest, but upon seeing me, you hid yourself in your room. What kind of etiquette is this?" The Kazi replied, "You have come to my house in a very angry mood. To pacify you, I did not come before you immediately, but kept myself hidden. Now that you have become pacified, I have come to you. It is my good fortune to receive you as a guest, like your honor. In our relationship, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur was my uncle. Such a relationship is stronger than a bodily relationship. Nilambar Chakravarti is your maternal grandfather, and by this relationship, you are my nephew. When a nephew is very angry, his maternal uncle is tolerant, and when the maternal uncle commits an offense, the nephew does not take it very seriously. In this way, the Kazi and the Lord talked with each other with various indications, but no outsider could understand the inner meaning of their conversation. The Lord said, "My dear uncle, I have come to your home just to ask you some questions." The Lord said, "You drink cow's milk, therefore the cow is your mother, and the bull produces grains for your maintenance, therefore he is your father. Since the bull and cow are your father and mother, how can you kill and eat them? What kind of religious principle is this? On what strength are you so daring that you commit such sinful activities?" The Kazi replied, "As we have your scriptures called the Vedas and Puranas, we have our scriptures known as Holy Quran. According to the Quran, there are two ways of advancement: through increasing the prosperity to enjoy, and through decreasing the prosperity to enjoy. Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. on the path of decreasing attachment, Nivritti Marg, the killing of animals is prohibited. But on the path of material activities, there is regulation of killing cows. If such killing is done under the guidance of scripture, there is no sin. As a learned scholar, the Qazi challenged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in your Mahaprabhu. As a learned scholar, the Qazi challenged Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In your Vedic scriptures, there is an injunction for killing a cow. On the strength of this injunction, great sages perform sacrifices involving cow killing. So now Chand Qazi is saying, your Vedic scriptures also talk about cow killing. And many sages have performed sacrifices. Refuting the Qazi's statement, the Lord immediately replied, the Vedas clearly enjoin that cows should not be killed. Therefore, every Hindu, whoever he may be, avoids indulging in cow killing. In the Vedas and Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, one can kill it for experimental purposes. Therefore, the great sages sometimes killed old cows, and by chanting Vedic hymns, they brought them back to life for perfection. The killing and rejuvenation of such old and invalid cows was not truly killing, but an act of great benefit. Formerly, there were powerful brahmanas who could make such experiments using Vedic hymns. But now, because of the Kali Yuga, brahmanas are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls for rejuvenation is forbidden. In the age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of horse in sacrifice, the offering of cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and the man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Since you Muslims cannot bring killed cows back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of the cow. There are many mistakes and illusions in your scriptures. Their compilers, not knowing the essence of knowledge, gave orders that were against reason and argument. After hearing the statements by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi, his argument stunned, could not put forward any more words. Thus, after due consideration, the Qazi accepted defeat and spoke as follows. My dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true. Our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. I know that our scriptures are full of imagination and mistaken ideas. Yet, because I am a Muslim, I accept them for the sake of my community, despite their insufficient support. The reasoning and argument in the scripture of the meat eaters are not very sound, the Qazi concluded. Upon hearing this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and inquired from him as follows. My dear maternal uncle, I wish to ask you another question. Please tell me the truth. Do not try to cheat me with tricks. So now Mahaprabhu is talking about different issue, but in the conclusion, what Mahaprabhu says is also very relevant here in this subject matter. So we shall read that as well. In your city, there is always congregational chanting of the holy name. A tumultuous uproar of music, singing and dancing is always going on. As a Muslim magistrate, you have the right to oppose the performance of Hindu ceremonies. But now you do not forbid them. I cannot understand the reason why. The Qazi said, everyone calls you Gaurhari. Please let me address you by that name. Kindly listen, O Gaurhari.
If you come to private place, I shall then explain the reason. The Lord replied, all these men are my confidential associates. You may speak frankly. There is no reason to be afraid of them. Because he said, when I went to the Hindu's house, broke the drum and forbade the performance of congregation chanting, in my dreams, that very night I saw a great fearful lion roaring very loudly, his body like a human being and his face like a lion's. While I was asleep, a lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely and gnashing his teeth. Placing its nail on my chest, the lion said in a grave voice, I shall immediately bifurcate your chest as you broke the mridanga drum. You have forbidden the performance of my congregation chanting, therefore I must destroy you. Being very much afraid of him, I closed my eyes and trembled. Seeing me so afraid, the lion said, I have defeated you just to teach you the lesson, but I must be merciful to you. On that day, you did not create very great disturbance. Therefore, I have excused you and not taken your life. But if you perform such activities again, I shall not be tolerant. At that time, I shall kill you, your entire family and all the meat eaters. So he saw Narasimha Dev in the dream. And Narasimha Dev is being merciful, he is not killing him. But he said, if you hamper Sankirtan movement again, if you do this kind of activities again, I will kill you. And not only you, your entire family. After saying this, the lion left, but I was very much afraid of him. Just see the marks of his nails on my chest. After this description, Chandkazi showed his chest. Having heard him and seen the marks, all the people there accepted the wonderful incident. The Kazi continued, I did not speak to anyone about this incident, but on that very day, one of my audience came to see me. After coming to me, the orderly said, when I went to stop the congregation chanting, suddenly flames struck my face. My beard was burnt and there were blisters on my cheeks. Every orderly who went gave the same description. After seeing this, I was very much afraid. I asked them not to stop the congregation chanting, but go home and sit down. Then all the meat-eaters, hearing that there would be unrestricted congregation chanting in the city, came to submit a petition. The religion of the Hindus have increased unlimitedly. There are always vibrations of Hari, Hari. We do not hear anything but this. Other meat-eaters say, the Hindus say Krishna, Krishna. And they laugh, cry, dance and chant and fall on the ground, smearing their bodies with dirt, vibrating Hari, Hari. The Hindus make a tumultuous sound. If the king hears it, certainly he would punish you. I then inquired from these Yavanas, I know that these Hindus by nature chant Hari, Hari. These Hindus chant the name Hari, Hari because that is the name of their god. But you are Muslim meat eaters. Why do you chant the name of Hindu's god? The meat eater replied, sometimes I joke with the Hindus, sometimes some of them they are called Krishna Das and some are called Ram Das, some of them are called Hari Das. They always chant Hari Hari and thus I thought they would steal the riches from someone's house. Hari also means to steal. So when they say Hari Hari, means, you know, I'm going to steal your house, I'm going to steal something from your house. So these meat eaters were teasing the Hindus. Another meat eater said, sir, please hear me. Since the day I joked with some Hindus in this way, my tongue chants the Hare Krishna hymn and cannot give it up. I do not know what mystic hymn and herbal potion these Hindus know. After hearing all this, I sent all the Malichas back to their homes. 5 or 7 non-believing Hindus came to me. Then came to me. Coming to me, the Hindus complained, Nimai Pandit has broken the Hindu religious principle. He has introduced the Sankirtan system, which we never heard from any scriptures. When we keep a night long vigil to observe religious performance for the worshipping of Mangal Chandi and Vasahari, playing on musical instruments and dancing and chantings are okay. Nimai Pandit was previously a very good boy, but since he has returned from Gaya, he conducts himself differently. Now he loudly sings all kinds of songs, claps and plays drums and hand cymbals, making a demonstrative sound that defeats our ears. We do not know what he eats that makes him become mad, dancing, singing, sometimes laughing, crying, falling down, jumping up and rolling on the ground. He has made all the people practically mad by always performing congregation chanting. At night we cannot even get our sleep. We are always kept awake. Now he has given up his own name Nimai and introduced himself by name Gaurhari. He has spoiled Hindu religion principles and introduced the irreligion of non-believers. Now the lower castes are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra again and again. For this sinful activity, the entire city of Navadvip will become deserted. According to Hindu scriptures, God's name is most powerful hymn. If everyone hears the chanting of the name, the potency of the hymn will be lost. So this is the argument. This is actually not very valid. Sir, you are the ruler of the town. Whether Hindus or Muslim, everyone is under your protection. Therefore, please call Nimai Pandit and make him leave the town. After hearing the complaint, in sweet words I told them, please go home. I shall certainly prohibit Nimai Pandit from continuing this Hare Krishna movement. I know that Narayan is the supreme... Now this is Chankaji saying. I know that Narayan is the supreme god of the Hindus, and I think that you are the same Narayan that I feel in my mind. Chankaji is telling to Mahaprabhu that you are that very Narayan, Lord Narayan. That's what my mind is saying. After hearing Kazi speak so nicely, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him and smilingly spoke as follows. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying now, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna from your mouth has performed a wonder. It has nullified the reactions of all your sinful activities. Now you have become supremely pure. Because you have chanted 3 holy names of the Lord, Hari, Krishna and Narayan, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. Just by chanting in this conversation, he chanted Hari, Krishna and Narayan 3 times, only 3 names. And then Lord was so happy that you have basically destroyed your sinful reactions. Whatever sins you have committed, it's just gone. You have become pure and pious. After the Kazi heard this, tears flowed from his eyes. He immediately touched the lotus feet of Lord and spoke the following sweet words. Only by your mercy have my bad intention vanished. Kindly favor me so that my devotion may always be fixed upon you. The Lord said, I wish to beg you for one favor in charity. You must pledge that the Sankirtan movement will not be checked, at least in the district of Nadia. The Kazi said, to as many descendants as take birth in my dynasty in the future, I give this grave admonition. No one should check the Sankirtan movement. Hearing this, the Lord got up, chanting Hari Hari. Following him, all the other Vaishnavas also got up, chanting the vibration of the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to perform Sankirtan, and the Kazi, his mind jubilant, went with him. The Lord asked the Kazi to go home. Then the son of Mother Sachi came back to his own house, dancing and chanting. This is the incident concerning the Kazi and the Lord's mercy upon him. Anyone who hears this is also freed from all offenses. So, how to revive the lost intelligence of the ignorant people in society? By giving them chance so they can have bhakti mukruti, bhakti mukruti, sukruti. Giving them chance to be connected to regular principles of bhakti yoga, whether that be book distribution, reading the books, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, prasadam, deity worship, sankirtan. This is our duty. So here, as a Vaishnava, as a servants of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, to save humanity, who is actually rushing towards this hell, Visarsan, and they will be destined to suffer in that hell perpetually. We as a servant of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, we can do little service to help them come out of their ignorance and start their bhakti, Krishna consciousness, and bhakti yoga by giving them some opportunity to be connected to Krishna. Just like Mahaprabhu, just by even chanting three holy names, he purified, killed demonic mentality of Chandrakazi, and he became Vaishnava. So I shall end here. If anyone has any question, we can take, or else it's already 10 past 9. We can come.
We should definitely say the holy names. Try to go through.
Yes.
So it's good if you have a name that you initiated. You have a name.
Spiritually.
Yes, spiritually.
Yes.
You can use that.
Yeah. This is how we can treat, People ask, what's your name? Yeah. Oh, my name is Krishnadas.
Yeah. Can you say Krishnadas?
Yes,
Harishna Prabhuji, Prabhuji, I wanted to ask, like, Chandkaji, he just said Krishna, Rama and Narayan.
Hare Krishna and Narayan.
And then he got free. But we chant like so many names, but sometimes we still have that bad mentality. So, can you repeat the question?
Repeat the question?
For the holy.
Yes, so our Krishnadas has asked the question that Chandkazi has chanted only three names, Hari, Krishna and Narayan. Mahaprabhu said that you have chanted these holy names, so all your sinful activities are eradicated. You are biased now. But we are chanting every day, but still we have bad intentions in our mind. Right. So yes, there is no doubt about that. That chanting holy name even once amount of sinful reactions are destroyed. Just like that, even we cannot accumulate. And so if we say we cannot accumulate this much, but chanting the holy name just once, not only this much, the limit we cannot reach to accumulate even simple activities are destroyed. So basically everything, all simple reactions have been destroyed except by chanting holy name. There is no doubt about that. It's like the room is dark, for example, when you enter a room and there is no light. But as soon as you come and then as soon as you switch on the light, darkness is immediately gone, right? So darkness won't say, I'm here for so many years. How dare you? Immediately you throw me out of this room. I have to stay here. This is my room. No, as soon as bulb is on, light is on, darkness is gone. So it's like that. As soon as the holy name is chanted, and
heard all the darkness, all the ignorance, all the sinful ways, and just goes away. It cannot just stay there. But your question is then why it's not with us, our bad intentions are still there. But be assured that we also have our own sinful intentions gone because we are chanting. But then free will is there and we can again commit mistakes. So purification, constant purification is required. And then we will come to that stage one day that we become completely pure. We won't condemn ourselves again and again. But be assured that there is no punishment in this hell described here for Vaishnavas. No way they will go there. By chanting holy name, we will pure. But the intentions, as you mentioned, we have to work on that. Impressions of our past life are so strong that we again go back to that kind of activities. So just like in the second chapter, we read those verses. And so when we see sense objects, then we start contemplating and then we learn to enjoy. So that whole cycle starts and we lose our intelligence and we commit some undesirable activities. So we have to keep checking our intelligence and our intentions. It's a constant process. But it doesn't mean that bhakti process is not working. It does work. Eventually these kind of things will go away slowly, slowly, slowly. There is no other way. Is there any other way you can check on your bad intentions? No. Is there any medicine or pill available? Or is there any other thing available? Material means? No. Only chanting Hare Krishna, only bhakti process is the way to go to cure this disease. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Rupa ki, Samvita Gaura.